today on Real Radio.
You see, Jack, my boss is Satan's son. God has you there for a reason. There is a purpose. God is not looking over every human being on the face of the earth and you're in his blind spot. He knows who you work for. There's a reason why you're there.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, now in a new series called Life and Bible, starts off with a message called Being a Christian at Your Job. You know, as Christ followers, we say we believe in God's Word and that its pages hold the answers to wisdom and understanding. But at some point, we need to move from simple understanding to a deeper knowledge of His will and put what we've learned into action. But how do we apply God's Word to the everyday challenges of life? In Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14, Paul challenges the church to increase in the knowledge of God and to be fruitful in every good work. When applied to real-life circumstances, this means our relationships, both personal and at work, need to thrive. Christians are to excel publicly, practically, and personally. In the workforce, quite frankly, we're supposed to be the best employee, manager, or owner that company could possibly have. So today on day two of this message, Pastor Jack tells us that God uses our bosses, even the worst bosses in the world, to mold and shape our character. God knows the bosses we have, and He has us there for a reason. Christians are to pray for their bosses, especially if they're tough to work with. In serving our bosses, we are serving the Lord. And now in his message called Being a Christian at Your Job, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The Bible says in Daniel 11:32, down towards the end of that verse, "And those who know their God shall carry out great exploits." Do you believe that or not? Those of you who believe that are going to say, "Lord, let's do something. Let's shake this house." And I pray that all of us as believers, when we go to our workplace, that we really see it as this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I tell you what, the attitude that you have will be radically changed because you won't be driving to work moaning and grumbling all the way there. It's like, you know what? God got me up. I'm in the car. I'm on the freeway. I know it's full of traffic, but if I make it to the front door of that building, this is God's will for my life. That's a great way to live. Years ago, in the early 1980s, I was in flight school, and there's a thing that they teach you, and I'm just going to give you the little jingle that they tell you. It's this, that the attitude of your airplane determines your altitude. The attitude of your airplane determines your altitude. It doesn't take an Einstein to figure that out. If your airplane is pointed up, guess where you're going to go? If your airplane's pointed down, guess where you're going to go? The attitude, meaning the direction in which it's pointed, is going to determine your altitude. If the plane is straight and level, you're going to be level. Your altitude will stay the same. The attitude determines the altitude. And if you and I tonight determine, you know what? I am going to give my job and my effort to the Lord. Guess which way the nose of your airplane is going to be pointing up, and it's going to equate into altitude. Makes a big difference. You won't crash at your job when everything you do at that job is unto the Lord and you are looking upward and onward unto Him. And let the Lord take care of the politics in that company. The attitude is all important. As a Christian, your attitude will determine your altitude. In Philippians 4:4, the Bible says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice." I wrote that verse down today, and I remember that song, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." Remember that? All of us who are like 90 years old, remember that one? Attitude is everything. The former CEO of, I think it's General Motors, I forget. Is it Jack Welch? Is that his name? Anybody remember? GE? Whoever he is. I think his last name's Welch. He talks about how he could have a Harvard grad show up for a job with glowing reports, And the guy's got all the textbook stuff you need to have an incredible job. And he says, that guy doesn't turn out to be the man or the woman. Why? He says, because he talks about the attitude of that person being the most powerful thing that works for them in their lives. And listen, that is important for the believer at our workplace. How so? You think about your attitude. I thought of this. Consider King Saul. Who was King Saul trying to kill for years and years and years? David. What was David's attitude? David's attitude, you can read about it in the Bible. David sat down and wrote songs, psalms. He sang songs. Saul's throwing spears. David picks up a harp and sings a song. What a great attitude. Hey, David, come here. Yes, King Saul. Hey, David, look over there. And then David writes a psalm. Oh, you are a lunatic, dear King Saul. But he would write the psalms, and you can read them, and they're amazing. The attitude of David is described in the psalms. And yes, there were times when he was very, very down, and he just despised his own life. But most of the time, it's the psalm that he cries out to God. And by the time you get to the end of the psalm, his attitude's changed. He always took it to the Lord, and that's a great, great thing. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 and 29. We're talking about attitude. Check this out. We need to have this on our desks or on our truck or in our wherever we work. Romans 8, 28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Verse 29, and I love verse 29. A lot of people focus on verse 28, but come on, get to verse 29. For whom he foreknew, that means before you were ever hatched, God knew you. Before you were ever even thought of coming into this universe, before he ever made the worlds, God knew you. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. That's an awesome victory. I'm going to go to work tomorrow. Yes, yes, and what? I'm going to go to it because you know what? I love the Lord. I'm called according to his purposes. And before he ever called me, he knew me. And so he's conforming me into his own image. Christian, tonight, listen, are you awake? This is important because how do you think you and I are going to be conformed into the image of Christ if it ain't going to happen at our job? Oh, Jack, is going to happen at home. And there, that's in the next few weeks. We'll cover that one. It's every move you make, every step you take. He'll be watching you. He is molding and shaping us at our work, in our play, in our homes, in our singleness, or in our marriage, with our children. He's molding us. Okay, number two, you ready for this one? Being a Christian at your job, okay? At work and your boss. Bosses, by the way, are used by God to shape us. I know you don't want to hear this, but no matter what, God uses bosses to shape us. You say, Jack, that's it, I'm leaving. You have no idea the kind of boss I have. Did you know that whatever kind of boss, and we've all had bosses. But are you a Christian tonight? Yes. Then the boss you have, literally, God knows, and he knew before he created the universe. You see, Jack, my boss is Satan's son. God has you there for a reason. There is a purpose. God is not looking over every human being on the face of the earth, and you're in his blind spot. He knows who you work for. There's a reason why you're there. Colossians 4:1 says, masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Or if you're a boss tonight, it's bosses, give your employees what is just and fair, knowing that the bosses have a boss in heaven, God. But even if you have an ungodly boss, the Lord knows this, and there's a reason why you're there. We're to pray for our bosses appointed to us by God. A lot of employment is like a marriage. Some people, you know, when it's going great, you never hear a man or a husband or a wife complain about their marriage or who they married when things are great. And then you hear this bologna, when they say, well, you know what? I don't think I ever loved her in the first place. You know what? You get your eyes off the purpose for which God has created you, and then you start talking that insanity. The same thing is true about a job. Everything's great, and then there's challenges at the job. And then you start thinking, well, I don't think God wanted me here in the first place. My friend, that is very, very wrong thinking. Don't go about getting yourself fired. That's a bad witness. Do your job, even if it stinks, do your job to the glory of God and let the Lord, listen, he's well able to close the company down if he wants to move you on. He can tell the boss, and the boss doesn't even know God, let him go today. And you're free, man. But don't go and get yourself fired. There's a witness to your boss. Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters. You say, what do you bring that verse up for? Because you have been ordained by God, and that boss has been ordained for you wherever you work. Listen, you can't serve two masters. When you follow the Lord as you are as a Christian tonight, and you go to that crazy boss that you work for, know this, you don't serve two masters, you serve one master. Guess who he is? It's not your boss. That's why in serving your boss, you look behind the boss, over the boss's head, you're serving the Lord. When that boss says, you know what, I want you to shine my shoes. You just say, Lord, I'm going to shine your shoes right now. Makes all the difference in the world. Listen to this. Did you know that your boss is your boss? You're not the boss. They're the boss. That's pretty profound, isn't it? Colossians 3:23 says, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that not awesome? Tomorrow when you go back to work, you're serving the Lord, and your reward will be from God. So here's the cool thing. Do you have a demonic boss? Yes. We want to work there too. Because every time you look in the Bible where God puts a Joseph with Pharaoh, look what happens. When God puts a Daniel with Nebuchadnezzar, look what happens. When God sends the Jews out into the world in the diaspora and they wind up in every country of the world, look who became the bankers. Look who became the accountants. Look who became the doctors. Look who became the attorneys. Did you know that? Did you know how the Jews learned their trade? When they were in Egypt, Egypt said, you know what, let's make them slaves. All right, let's make them slaves. Hey, we'll have them do all the work, and we'll just float around on the Nile. Okay, guess what? That's how the Jewish people learned how to be incredible accountants and bankers and businessmen. Did you know that? It happens in culture after culture after culture. Hitler, let's enslave them. The ones we don't kill, let's enslave them. Guess what they learned? International banking. Over and over again. In the worst situations, you and I as Christians are to flourish in that place. It's absolutely awesome. Our faith, our Jesus, our Bible is beyond resilient. Sometimes we think our Christianity is going to break if we pull it out and use it. It's awesome. And we need to take it everywhere. Well, by serving our bosses, we're actually serving the Lord Jesus. And I have been very spoiled in my life. I'll confess that right now. I have had a couple of bosses when I was 15 to 17 during the summer. In fact, one of the bosses I had when I was 15 went to this church for years until he died a couple years ago. I was 15 years of age. And then when I got out of school, I worked for a construction owner. He was my boss. And the guy, the business became very successful, unfortunately, because I was paid ridiculous amounts of money. And I was a Christian, and so all that was fine. But in the success, he began to get into drugs and prostitution. And he was absolutely a mess. And the more he was in the mess, the more I ran the company as a kid. But he paid me ridiculous amounts of money. Probably guilt, I don't know. But I saw the misery of that man's life. And his life ended in ruin. And it was terrible. But after that time, I've had two bosses in all my life. I worked for Baxter International. It's a global healthcare corporation. I worked in a science research lab, and I worked in that job for 13 years, and I had a great boss. And then I wound up moving out to Chino Hills. We started a home Bible study. It took off, and for a matter of time, I did both those things, and then I wound up resigning from that job at Baxter, and for the last 17 years, I've had Jesus as my boss. And so I've had really two bosses. And so I can't speak to you much about having all kinds of bosses. But I've watched people and I've seen people go through various types of bosses. And yet the word of God is true no matter what kind of boss you have. It doesn't change. And so that's why I'm saying that, because I don't want you to come to me later and say, well, that was fine tonight, but you don't know the guy I work for. I don't know the guy you work for, the woman you work for, but God does. And there's a reason why you work there. Another thing is this. At work and our bosses, did you know that your boss trusts you? Maybe they haven't said it, but they trust you. If they didn't trust you, you'd be gone tomorrow. And that's an amazing thing. I want you to receive that from the Lord. I don't mean receive what I'm saying from the Lord. I'm saying receive that holy, amazing position from the Lord. If you go to a job tomorrow, you need to understand something. The leadership of that company trusts you. Don't break that trust. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful or trustworthy. The Christian should be the most trustworthy person in the company, hands down. And when trust grows, responsibility grows. Is that not a fact?
Yes.
You could work for the worst company in the world, but if you're doing your job under the Lord, they're going to turn around and they're going to say, man, this person's trustworthy. We can give them the keys. Don't ever violate that. In Psalm 75, verse 6, the Bible says, for promotion does not come from the east or from the west nor from the south, but God's the judge. Verse 7, is that awesome? God promotes us. See, Jack, I don't know if anybody's noticing me at the company. Just stay doing what you're doing until A, God moves you on, or B, God opens up another door. Until he does, be faithful. If they recognize it or not, stay at it. Our culture, the young people today, I don't know, man, the young people today need to learn perseverance. Perseverance means you hang in there when it's tough. Too many young kids today give up when it's tough. You know, this bumper sticker you see on cars that sometimes it says, when the going gets tough, the tough go shopping. No. When the going gets tough, you stick it out. You make it work. Again, so much of our employment is like a marriage. Make it work. And then also, thirdly, under this point, is that did you know that your boss depends on you? They really do. Genesis 41:39. Listen to this. Our bosses depend on us. Genesis 41:39. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has made you to know all this, there is no one so discerning and wise as you, Joseph. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Wow, this is the Pharaoh talking to a Jew. Joseph was a prisoner. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his finger and put it on Joseph's finger. He dressed Joseph in his robes of fine linen, put a gold chain around his neck, and he made him ride in his chariot as second in command. And the men shouted before him, make way! Thus he put in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, but without your word, no one will lift a hand or foot in all of Egypt. Is that awesome? Do you believe that? What I just read, do you believe that's in the Bible? Do you believe it happened? I do. And I believe the God that did that to Joseph will do it to you too. Will do it to me too. Look, I'm counting on it. I'm counting on that. Number three, being a Christian at your job means this, at work and your coworkers. Oh, yeah, coworkers. But listen to this. As a Christian, cooperating with others is a learned discipline, and God wants us to learn it. You see, Jack, I work with a bunch of unbelievers. They're godless, cussing. They're drinking. They're throwing stuff at people. They're telling dirty jokes. They're you know, kicking the dog and all this stuff. Again, God knows that. You have been placed there. And there's a way to handle that. But we have been designed by God to be team players. Did you know that? Amen. How do you think empires get built? How do you think things happen? You got to come together. So yeah, that's going, you know, okay. The Christian should lead the way about coming together, even if you're working for non-believers. You think everybody in Egypt was a Jew? Joseph seemed to be the only one around who believed in the God of the Bible. And Joseph created an empire. Listen, co-workers, it's a big deal. God is working in our relationship with our co-workers. In Romans 12:18, the Bible says, if possible, so far as it depends upon you, be at peace with all men. What a great verse that is. That's Romans 12:18. That's a great verse. Listen, as much as is possible, live at peace with all men. That means when you and I, and let me say this. You say, well, Pastor, you got it so easy. You work at a church. Let me tell you something about a church. You may go to work tomorrow and you have a rotten boss or rotten coworkers. We go to work tomorrow and Satan's waiting at the front door. I mean, he loves to attack churches. And then you think, you get this thing in your mindset, well, I work with a bunch of Christians. Like we've got wings fluttering and you can hear the sound of harps playing and nobody, you know, wakes up having a bad attitude and people just come to church and it's, you know what? Let's pray for one another. That would be awesome if it was like that all the time. It's like that, but not all the time. Sometimes it's, you know what? I think we need to pray for you. It's a war, man. And Satan would love to shut down this church or any church. Think about it. The company you work for may or may not be a threat to him, but I tell you, a Bible-teaching church is. Think about it. Co-workers. Being side by side with a co-worker is reality, my friend. It's kind of like this. You ever meet people? They can tell you how to be married. They can tell you how to raise kids. And they're like 19 years old and they've never been married and they've have you ever seen those kind of people? Well, you know what you really need to do? Oh, do you have kids? No, but I'm just telling you that. Then just go away. Well, think about it. Side by side with coworkers is where Christianity hits the road. It's where it works.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Being a Christian at Your Job. We're so glad you joined us today, and our hope is that you are a light even in the most troubling of circumstances. Being a Christian at Your Job, it's part of Pastor Jack's series called Life and Bible, a collection of messages on the practical application of God's Word in the everyday challenges of real life. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, if you're out in the workplace and you struggle with being a witness, well, we're here to help. The best way to stay true to your faith on the job is to start your day with the Lord. That's why Pastor Jack has devotions at his website. There's a new devotion each week that Pastor Jack writes personally and always has a Bible verse that's sure to bless and strengthen you for the day. There are also previous devotions that you can click on for daily help. Just go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click on the Devotions tab. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Or you can access them on the Real Life mobile app. Our phone number, if you'd like to write this down, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.